In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel read for us from the Gnosis of the Light, which is a scripture in the Bruce Codex, so one of those that has been available for some time. I think we have some very significant words that we might take to heart. First of all, there is a very definite and very exalted statement of all the blessings that humanity has received by way of the coming of the Redeemer, the Messenger, the Lord Christ, which is of course the event that we celebrate at Christmas time. In it we find statements that may be applicable to our culture and to our society nowadays in a more general fashion, where it is said that He also gave us the law to love one another and to honor God and bless Him and seek Him. Now, this has a special significance, because in the Old Testament religiosity, in pre-Christian Judaism, the law are primarily the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and the various interpretations to these given by the learned rabbis. But he says here that he gave us the law to love one another. And there are other Gnostic scriptures where it also stated that the law of love is the law that the Lord Christ brought, and that it essentially supersedes all others. And I might also say that, well, we certainly have to be very grateful for that. It is probably also the most difficult of all the laws. It's relatively easy to grab somebody who has killed somebody, murdered somebody else, because you've got to remember in the Decalogue, in the Ten Commandments, it says that it doesn't just say to kill somebody, it says to murder somebody, which means to kill somebody in a particularly hostile and unlawful manner. But that, you know, where those things obtain, but here we have something else. So we need to keep in mind that one time in some scripture, I can't recall where, I saw the statement that love is the lifeblood of the universe. Now, you know, when your blood does not circulate, your lifeblood, then you're dead. You know, that is the life-giving substance physically in our lives. And so in the same way, somehow the ability to feel that transcendental relationship, that connection with each other, and to internalize that and to remember that under what are often very difficult circumstances is a very important thing. I can't profess that I can do it perfectly myself, although I try not to be hateful to individuals. I am hateful to ideologies, especially, you know, where they come from, the ones that I can't stand. To recognize the evil of ideas, it does not contravene the law of love. But we have to recognize at the same time, and no matter how badly some people may have treated us, no matter how stupid they may be, which is the condition of the majority of the human race, if that fact has escaped you so far, then maybe you better look at it again, and so forth. But, you know, they are still in a very deep sense, they are us and we are them. And Bishop Palatine, my teacher, my consecrator, once scared the living daylight out of a group of us who were sitting with him, and he said that you have to remember not only that your brother is your brother, but that you are your brother. And it really shook us up. But once again, it has to be recognized that in the very depth of our being, we are the same. And it's all the accretion around it, all the vestments, all the clothing, the psychic and physical clothing that is wrapped around that inner kernel, that is the one we have troubles with, you know. I mean, how is it in Sir Edwin Arnold's beautiful translation of the Bhagavad Gita, which is called the Song Celestial, it says, "Roars us but one layeth his worn-out robes away." And taking this one, saith, "This will I wear today." So putteth by the spirit lightly its garb of flesh, and pass it to inherit a residence afresh. So, you know, this is the, these are the robes that are wrapped around us. And these robes are of manifold character. And they contain anger, and they contain jealousy, and they contain all sorts of features that are not so nice and that we really shouldn't manifest if we can help it, you know, but they are there. It's sort of like saying, well, you know, you're wearing this particular dress or suit, well, you know, come on, you should take it off right away. Well, if I take it off, then I'll be unclad, shall we say. So, consequently, these wrappings that we walk around with in the world, they act as our defense, or at least we think they act as our defense. But at the same time, they also keep us from the real. And so they have to be unwrapped. And if you want to ask me how to do it, I'll tell you, go and ask somebody else. Because I'm working on it in my old age myself and not all that successfully. But it's really true. We have to detach ourselves from our anger, from our indignation, even our righteous indignation, as the Victorian phrase has it. And see, look, you know, well, this guy has acted like a rascal toward me or toward my friends and all that, but you know what? He still has the same divine spark in him that I do, at a very, very deep and yet extremely powerful level. We are very closely connected. We can't detach ourselves from each other. And that in itself may come like a shock. Do I have to consider so-and-so my twin? I can't stand the guy. You know, why should I? You know, but the fact of the matter is, at a very deep level, there is a connection. But, and here is the... here is really the key to it all. The only quality, the only state of consciousness that will disclose that to us is gnosis. When we know the divine, and when we know the divine in each other, then when we look at which very, very seldom in my life has occurred to me, I look at the whole crowd of people that maybe have come to hear me or something of that, has occurred in better days, and what do you see? It's a little star, a little light inside of every each one. And some of the, so there may be somebody there whom I wouldn't want to shake hands with under healthy conditions, not even now, you know, just because they're rascals, you know, they're there. They're not people I want to fraternize with. But that star, the individual Christmas star, is still there. And it's incumbent upon us to recognize it. It doesn't mean that we have to disregard the undesirable qualities of people. If you are in the company of a thief, you better hang on to your wallet. He says, "Yes, brother, I love you, but I don't want you to steal my wallet, okay?" Yeah? So we still have to be able to be practical. But at the same time, it takes really walking into a very deep space within ourselves, you know? Whatever the case may be, this guy still has the same light in him that I do. And so it has to be recognized. This is the actual reality of what has been called over and over again and pretty much ineffectually of universal brotherhood and all of that. It's not at the external level of the human personality or at the body or any of that, that we are brothers or sisters unto each other. I tell you, I know some people, I wouldn't want them to be my brother if I received all the millions of that are in Silicon Valley, you know. Some people I wouldn't want to be in a fraternal relationship with it, personally. Why? Because they bug me, you know. But at the same time, at a very deep level, where we penetrate with a kind of gnosis, then we can see that relationship. And that is very important. Because the great messengers of light, like the Lord Buddha, others, Lord Mani, and certainly our Lord Christ, they didn't come just here to visit nice people. Well, if one wanted to be kind of literal about it, they probably have enough nice people in heaven. They wouldn't have to come here where there are so few, you know. But they came in order to stimulate the light, the redemption, the desire and the ability for the homeward journey in everybody. And that is why Christ speaks with that compassion and kindness to the two thieves, or you know, the two criminals who are hanging next to him at the time of the crucifixion. And at least one of them listens to him, and he turns to him, and he says, the Lord says to him, "Just tonight you will be with me in paradise." So, why? Because the man recognized what was to be done, who he was to turn to. And so, these are difficult issues to keep in our minds, but if we work on them, then they will come. And when our time comes, sometimes one thinks about that maybe a little more often when one is of advanced age, such as myself, I hope that I will be able to say in all honesty that I have no grudge, that I have no hatred, that I have no reprobation toward anyone. No matter what they did, no matter how they may have treated me or others, I won't. Why? Well, because inside of them there is the same wonder, the same glory, although perhaps quite covered up at various times. that has been placed in me. And because of that, C.G. Jung in the Red Book actually calls it the essence, the essence. That's probably a very, very good word, because the essence, well, the essence of a good wine is a particular kind of essence. You know, we Hungarians have a wine that is known all throughout history and throughout the world, the Tokaj wine. It comes from the region of Tokaj. And when the particularly well-treated and sweet kind of Tokaj is called the essence of Tokaj. And so, in the same way, we are of the same essence. We are of the same mixture, as actually Jesus says in one of the Gnostic scriptures. And to recognize this and still be realistic is a very, very great task. But particularly coming at Christmas time, and when we hear about the Christmas star is on the sky already, because there is a great conjunction of, let us say, of Jupiter and of is it Pluto?
Saturn,
yeah, right. So that's the Christmas star. So it is necessary for us to work toward that. I know it's very difficult to forgive some people. It has been said that it is to forgive is divine, because it's God that forgives. But that God is not just up there, past Jupiter. The God is right here. As difficult it is to speak about it, is here. And he speaks to us and he says, come on. What they did to you wasn't that important. What is important is that you don't carry them on your back, as the common saying has it, like a monkey, you know, because they weigh you down. And that weight keeps you here on earth, and you can't come to the divine because you've got these heavy weights on you. These are very, very important things. And I think the Christmas mystery calls them, you know, certainly to our attention. And of course, the general statement is here also, which is very important, that we should honor God and bless Him and seek Him, who He is and what He is, that we should wonder at the place whence we have come, our origins in the fullness, and not return to evil again, but to follow after Him who has given us the law of love. And this is, I think that there's so much energy in that saying that the book jumps out of my hand. But this has to do with a circumstance which is a general circumstance. It's a collective circumstance that our relationship to transcendence, to the transcendent Godhead, is so much neglected and denied. And the one that I repeat ad infinitum and perhaps therefore ad nauseam is Jung's statement to the people of the particularly one fellow who founded Alcoholics Anonymous, when Jung told him that unless you acknowledge your reliance on a higher power, none of this is going to work. Because only that power is able to conquer and supersede a real addiction. And it's very important. But what do we do in our present culture? We deny that power, we don't talk about it, we worship all kinds of things, primarily money, but we don't want to acknowledge the higher power. Why that it is? Because we have that human hubris, as the Greeks called it, that inordinate pride within us. You know. I am the one, I can do it all. You know what? If you could do it all, then you wouldn't be here anymore. That you'd be in heaven, you'd be in the fullness, in the pleroma. But one thing you can go step by step toward that goal. You can acknowledge the living presence within you and within others and around you of the divine, and through that, the higher power. Look, I've lived a long time, I know, longer than any of you here. I don't think I would wish it on you either. But let's say, in that time, I have learned, I have noticed that the higher power is always here. It reveals itself in all things, and when you think that you're at the end and nothing will help you any longer, all you have to do is reach for it, and like the finger of Adam and the finger of God on the Michelangelo's ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, they join. That's it. The higher power comes to you, and by way of it, you enter the higher realm also. So, all of this is very relevant to this season, to the solstice and to Christmas, because it has to do with the return of the light. This is cosmic symbolism. This is the light has gone away after the autumnal equinox. It's got darker and darker, earlier and earlier and earlier, darker and darker. But now the light is coming back. And that light needs to come back to us. But we have to recognize that we share that light with other humans, no matter how peculiar they may behave toward us, and that ultimately it is that light that will guide us to the greater light, the eternal light, the perpetual light, the lux perpetua. That is what we pray for the dead. May the eternal light light for them. And then the Christmas story will have become an ongoing and never ceasing actuality. So may that day come soon, and so may the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us and remain with us always. Amen.